Greetings, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now beginning our study of the third parak of Masachet Brachot, the third and final parak that deals mainly with Kriyat Shema. And as I mentioned at the end of the previous podcast, this first sugya will take us to the general issue of Ha'osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, one who is engaged in the fulfillment of one mitzvah. In some cases, and with some parametric limitations, is exempt from other mitzvot. We will also be introduced to the notion of an onen, somebody who has had one of the relatives who he is responsible for bearing die, and they have not yet been buried. So we'll begin. Mishmei tomutal lefanav. If he has a mate that he's responsible for, who is lying in front of him. Patur mi kriyat shma, uminat filah, uminat filin, umikom mitzvot amur paturah. So he's exempt from all of that. And of course, the question is, once you say mikom mitzvot amur paturah, why list kriyat shma, tfilah, and tfilin? Nosei hamita, those who are carrying the bier, v'chilufehen, and then those who are going to take their place, v'chilufehen, chilufehen, and those who yet will take their place. Etzalifne hamita, v'etzalachar mita. This includes people who have not yet carried the bed, and those who have already carried the dead body. Actually, those who have not yet carried the body, and therefore they're needed to rein. They're exempt. Exempt from what? We'll see. Those who have already carried the bed, they are obligated. But all of them are exempt from tefillah. So clearly the obligation here is one of kriyat shema. We're imagining now a funeral taking place, as an example, early in the morning. Now, the next Mishnah, Kavru Tamed V'Chazru. Once they bury the dead, then they come back, and they return and set up two rows, and the Avelim, the newly defined mourners, because once the burial has been completed, then they become mourners, walk between the lines and are comforted by the people in the rows. So if they could start Shema and complete it, by the time they get back to the Shura, Yatchilu, then they should start. Don't start and have to stop in the middle. What about the people who are already standing in the rows? The ones who are on the inside, meaning that the Avel is going to directly see them, are exempt. The ones who are on the outside are obligated. We'll see a few more nuances about this. But what we're imagining now is very thick rows of people who are comforting, large groups of well-wishers, as it were. And the people who are directly on the inside of each side, those so that the Avelim are going to see them directly, are exempt from Shema. Those who are in the thick of the crowd or in the outside of the crowd are obligated. All right, let's take this all apart. Mutalafanav in, Rishena Mutalafanav, low. So the first point of our Mishnah is, of our analysis of the Mishnah, is that the mate is lying in front of him. So that means v'sheino mutal lefanav lo. If he's not physically in front of him, he's not exempt from the mitzvot. Or mini, watch this challenge. Mishmei tov mutal lefanav ochel b'bayit acher. If he has a mate in front of him, he should eat in another room. Mein l'bayit acher, if there's only one room, ochel b'beit chaviro. He should go to another house and eat. Which means, by definition, the mate's not in front of him. If he doesn't have somewhere else to eat, he should make some sort of a barrier between the mate and himself. Not nice to eat in front of the mate. If he doesn't have any way to do it, at least turn away from the mate. He doesn't eat reclining. He doesn't eat meat or drink wine. This is a form of asceticism related to mourning. He makes no brachot. He does not say zimun. He's not included in the zimun. They do not include him in the zimun. All right? It means he eats, but no brachot. He's exempt from all the mitzvot, including the three that we mentioned explicitly in our Mishnah, all the mitzvot. Okay, uva shabbat, which means now, we're still talking about somebody who might be in another room. But meitom mutalafanav, so let's see what that means. Uva shabbat, meisav ochel basar v'shotayayin, but on shabbat, he eats reclining, and he eats meat, and drinks wine. Umvarech v'zamein, he makes brachot, and he does zimun. V'achin alav, v'zamnin alav, he's included in the zimun. V'chayav v'chol mitzvot tamor paturat. It's chayav in all the mitzvot. Now this braita ends with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying, mitoch shen tchayev, be'elen tchayev v'kulan. He has a different read, meaning that the Tanakhama's read is that simply all those restrictions or limitations or guidances are lifted for Shabbat. Shmuel Gamliel says, not exactly. Since you're chayav in Birchat HaMazon, etc., you therefore become a chayav in the rest. So what's the difference in the nuance of their wording? What's the practical difference? Tashmish Amita Ika Benayu, that they disagree about whether or not he may engage or is indeed obligated in conjugal relations. That according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, since he's chayav in some of the mitzvot, he's chayav in everything, including Tashmish Amita, it's fully lifted. According to Tanakhama, it's only those public mitzvot. On Shabbat, he's not allowed to show public mourning, so therefore he has to eat with everybody, eat proper foods, dress properly, etc. Now, this is not an avel, this is an onain, somebody who's the dead person has not yet been buried. So imagine somebody died on Shabbat or just before Shabbat, and they couldn't bury him yet, this is the status. Okay, katani mihat, but the main thing is that we learn from here, patur mikra shabbat tefillam na tefillam, kol mitzvot amarot patorah, even though he's not in the same room. So Papa Tirgama Machzer Panav Ochel. So one way to interpret it is that, remember when we talked about eating, we said the last resort was if you cannot go to another room and you can't go in another house and can't build a machitza, you turn around and eat. So in a case like that, he really is Mutalafanav. That's what Papa's answer. To save our Mishnah, so that our Mishnah really is only referring to a case where the mate is physically in front of you. Rashi Amar, Kevach Mutal Alav Lekovro Kumutalafanav Dami. Since you are responsible to bury him, it's as if he is in front of you. And therefore, Avashi says, Mishim eto mutalafanav does not mean physically in front of you, but it is your responsibility to bury him. Therefore, you are an onen, and therefore exempt from all these mitzvot, etc. And then Shabbat is different. What's his proof? Text Shenamar, Vayakum Avraham mi'al pnei meto. Avram got up from the presence of his mate, of Sarah, to negotiate for her burial. And then what does he say in his negotiations? Let me bury my dead from in front of me. Now, he's not in front of Sarah. He's already left. He's at the city gates discussing with the Chitim and with Ephron. So what does he mean by Milfanai? That as long as you're responsible to bury him, and he's not yet been buried, it's as if he's physically in front of you. And that's what it means. Parenthetically, take a look at the way Rav Ashi interprets the difference between Darim and Davot in the first sugi in Zvachim, and you'll see the way that he uses the word Alav, perhaps in a similar way. Okay, Meitolin. So the second thing we're going to pick on the Mishnah, we said Mutalafanav, but it's Meito, meaning his dead, meaning one of the relatives he's responsible. Av Meshamro lo. But if you're just watching another mate on behalf of somebody else, you have a dead body, and typically the problem would be that until he was buried, he was subject to rat infestation and all sorts of other things. You have to have somebody watching him. So therefore, what if you're watching another dead body? Are you allowed to engage in Kriyat Shema, etc.? Are you chayav in these mitzvot? If you're watching somebody else's dead, you're exempt from all these mitzvot. And this, of course, is part of the issue of Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're involved in a mitzvah which takes full energy and full focus, you're exempt from others. In many cases, not in all cases. Now, the answer to that is Mishamro af pi sheino meito, meito af pi sheino mishamro. So the answer is it's both. Meaning, if it's your mate and you're not there, or your shomer, even if it's not your mate, you're exempt. So now, meito mishamro ina v'halek v'nakvorot lo. So it only applies to somebody where you have a direct responsibility, like a familial responsibility or a task responsibility where you're watching him. But if you're just walking in a cemetery, then you're not limited by this. You shouldn't walk through a cemetery carrying a Sefer Torah and wearing tefillin and studying. And if you do that, you violated the principle in Mishlei, then you're making fun of the poor person and you're embarrassing him. Because you're saying, I can study and you, the dead, can't study. We have this back on Daf Dalet. The answer is, that's a whole different consideration. Hatam toch arba motud asu. That's only within 4 amot of the dead. Chutz le arba mot chayav. But outside of arba mot, you're still chayav in all the mitzvot. Amar mate to face arba mot the kriyat shma, because we have a principle that a mate grabs 4 amot. Just like a mate, as remember from the sugyot in Nazir and elsewhere, that he certainly claims a certain amount of land around his body, so 4 amot outside of him radiates a zone, which is, if you will say, if you will allow, a kriyat shma free zone. But in the case of your own mate, wherever you are, or if you're a shomer anywhere in the room, you're patur. Okay, let's go back to the shomer. Gufa. Good. Hayushnaim, let's say in two shomerim, they should swap off. So it's not that there's a prohibition of saying Kriyat Shema when you have that job, it's just that you have to focus on the job. So if you can swap off, that's the way to do it. Banazay Omer, Hayubayim Besfina, let's say they were bringing the mate on a ship, and it was one guy. So it's two guys, they put the mate in a corner, and they daven in a different corner. So my benayu, where does Banazay disagree with Tanakama? Ravina Choshin Lachparim Kibinayu. We're not, we're concerned about rats, in other words. But as I says, we're not concerned, and therefore, we can leave the body without anybody attending him as long as we're just aware of it. Let's say you're re-entering a body and carrying bones from one place to the other. Don't put them in a sack. And put them in the saddle of a donkey saddle and ride on them. They should know Hegbam min Hag Bizayon, because you're treating them in a degrading way. But if you're afraid of non-Jews or of thugs coming, mutar, then you can put it in there if it's going to be somewhere that they'll leave alone. And the same rule applies to a Sefer Torah. Ah, hey, which part of this statement about the bones is a Sefer Torah like? Il lema aresha, if you think it's the resha that you shouldn't put it in a saddlebag. So pshita, that's obvious. Migara Sefer Torah me'atzamot. Why wouldn't the Sefer Torah be at least as holy, if not holier, than bones? The answer is Ela Seifa. It's referring to the Seifa, the permission to put it there if you're afraid of robbers. Rachman Rav Yehuda, kol ro'eh ha-meit ve'no malaveihu. Back to the issue of Loig LaRash, if somebody sees a burial going on and he does not join in the procession to escort him, over mishum Loig LaRash, cheref oseu. Here you're like making fun of him in the sense that you're not joining in his burial and being sad that a person has died. Vav mascharo, and if you suddenly join in the levaya, what's your reward? Malve Adonai chonen dal. Hashem lends the one who lends. So Hashem helps the one who helps out the poor man. So it's malveh. There's a play on lahalvot, which is to lend, and lalavot, which is to escort to burial. And he who honors him, and Hashem honors the one who takes care of the poor man. Okay, now we begin a story that's going to take us into a very interesting area about the issue of walking through a cemetery with a clear and overt expression of mitzvot. Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Yonatan. This takes us to the 3rd century in Eretz Yisrael. They're walking in a Berakvarot. Yonatan's tchelet was on the ground. It was coming out of his clothes, or it was over his clothes, and it was dragging on the ground. Rabbi Chiya said to him, Dalye, pick it up. So the dead should not say about us, tomorrow they're going to come join us, and now they're making fun of us. Amarle miyadi kulihai, so Yonatan turned to Chiya and said, since when do the meitim know? Are they aware of their environs? Do they know that we're going to be dying? V'ativ, amitim enam yodim me'uma. We have a pasuk in Kohelet, the dead know nothing. Amarle karita lo shanita, mishanita lo shilashta, mishilashta lo pirshulach. It's an idiom for saying, you don't really get it. Meaning, if you've read it, you haven't read it twice. If you read it twice, you haven't read it three times. If you read it three times, you still don't understand it. Ki achayim yodim shiyamutu. Those who are alive know they're going to die. What does that refer to? It's such an obvious statement that we say, Eilu tzadikim shvitatam nikru chayim. This refers to tzadikim who, even when they're dead, are called alive. So, achachayim yodim shiyamutu now means those who are called alive still know that they died. Shinemar, and we have this pasuk, you have to see the Radak's comment on this pasuk. Certainly a very bizarre pasuk. And the first thing is that they call him Ben Ishchai. Why is he called Ben Ishchai? Everybody else is son of a dead person. Why do you call him a Ben Ishchai? Of course, this is where the famous Baghdadi leader, the Ben Ish-Chai got his name from. But the question is Ben Ish-Chai or Ben Ish-Chayel in any case? So Ella Ben Ish-Chai Shafil Mitato Kra'ochai. The reason Benayel Ben Yehoyada, who was Shlomo's chief of staff, is called Ben Ish-Chai is that even when he was dead, he was called Chai. Tzadikim are called Chai even when they're dead. Rav Pialim Mikav Tzael, he was somebody who did many great things, and he was from Kav Tzael. Shribava Kibetz Polim the Torah. The drasha on it is that he got lots of people to work together for Torah. We caught Shinei Ariel Moav, that he smashed the teeth of the lion. And so the way that they're reading is not Shinei Ariel, but Shnei Ariel, and Ariel, per Yechezkel, referring to the Mizbeach, that he wiped out Shnei Ariel, meaning he left no one of his stature in either Mikdash Rishon or Mikdash Sheni. And he went down into the pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. What does that mean? Nikad Amri, the Tavar Gezize Debar Devanachat V'Tavel. One version is that he broke through ice and went through into a mikvah and made a mikvah under the ice. Nikad Amri, the Tana Sifra Deverav B'Yomar Sitva, or he learned Sifra Deverav on a winter's day. Okay, Vamitim, the point of that being that Hachayim here refers to those who are already dead, but who were tzaddikim, therefore they're considered alive. And so therefore that's what the Pasuk in Kohelet means. It doesn't mean that those who are dead don't know what's going on. And Hametim, Einam Yodim Uma, what does that Pasuk mean? And the Rishayim Shmechayen Kuryim Metim. The opposite. Those who are wicked are called dead already, even though they're alive. Shinemar, Ve'atach Halal Rasha Nasi Yisrael. He, Yechezkel refers to this man as a corpse, even though he's alive. We have from a simpler pasuk in Dvarim, Al Pishnaim Edim, or Shlosha Edim Yumat Tamet. The dead die based on the testimony of two or three. Chayu, the guy is still alive, he's got to be executed. The answer is Alamit Nikar, meaning he was always dead because he was a Rasha and somebody who was going to be executed by the Beit Din. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We have a fairly long Agadah dealing with the dead and the way that we relate to the dead coming up. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.